Today's Palm Sunday. I'll be wrapping up The Voice Part 4 today. And we know that there are voices all around us. They're crowding in to us. Sometimes it comes in the form of worry, stress, financial, relationships, sickness. Could be any number of things. Voices that press in and we must hear the voice of God. We're in some strange times. And if there's ever been a time in all of our lives, talked to a gentleman the other day, nearly 90 years old, and he said, "Mike, I've never seen times like we've been living in the last 12 to 18 months. If there's ever been a time we need to hear the voice of God, it's today. It's today. It's to know that God is speaking. God has not left us. He's not forsook us. He's with us. He loves us. He cares for us. And he has a plan. In John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to us today. Give us an ear to hear you and a heart to follow you, Lord. I pray, God, that your words sink deep into our heart today to encourage us, to draw us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. My sheep hear my voice. It's interesting that that is a statement of certainty. It doesn't say that my sheep may hear my voice, or I hope my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. It's a statement of certainty. You've probably heard me tell this story, but we were in Atlanta a bunch of years ago, several years ago, maybe 7, 8 years ago, and we took a group of youth, and there were some adults mixed in there too, had to be. Some adults mixed in there, some adults to watch the adults, and then some youth to watch the adults too. Anyway, so we took a couple of van loads up to Atlanta for a conference. Always had an awesome time there. And so while we were there, we took in an afternoon to go to the Mall of Georgia. And if you've been to the Mall of Georgia, you know it's a big, busy place and a couple of levels and people everywhere. And so for some reason, Crystal and Jordan weren't answering their phone. I had no idea where they were. And so me and the guys were walking around, and we were up on the upper level. And all of a sudden, I looked down over the mall, and there was Jordan and Crystal and some of the other girls walking around. So I just whistled real loud, and Elder Andy knows what that whistle sounds like, and it's just a real loud whistle, and Jordan and Crystal knew it, and immediately when they heard that whistle, their heads popped up and turned around the direction of that whistle. They knew that that was Mike, that was Daddy calling, and where is he at? He must need something. And sure enough, they caught my eye and I caught their eye, and at least we were able to make contact and where to meet and get together and load up. But that's the way God is. God speaks to us, and the only way to know that he's speaking to us and to know his voice from other voices is to be around him enough to know what his voice is. And it's not necessarily a South Georgia style voice. I mean, I think it is. He's probably from here. It's not necessarily that as much as it is you know the heart of what he's saying. You understand that when God speaks, it brings peace. Sometimes God has spoke correction to me, but I knew it was God speaking. I knew it was God speaking. It wasn't the devil trying to straighten me out. It was God. And so we're around God enough and daily and reading his word and exposed to him and his thoughts for us and know his heart for us that we know that he's speaking to us. I can't tell you the number of times that God has spoke to me and things in revelation to me that I didn't know until I heard the voice of God, and I knew that I knew that I knew that God was speaking to me. And so there are distractions all around us, but we're to test. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1 that we're to test those things, because sometimes it is confusing. Whose voice am I hearing? I have people say, "Well, is it God's voice, the devil's voice, or my voice?" And so there's a testing of the spirits. It says here in John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test the voices, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Many times you'll turn on the television, you'll see YouTube, you'll hear something, you'll read something, and you'll say, "Well, God, is that you?" And we become confused because many times it contradicts the word of God, which God's word will never contradict his word. His word is his word. So he'll never contradict his word, but we have to test the spirits. Many times pray over that thing that we're reading or listening to. And that's why I say make the Bible our first and number one priority so that we know the voice of God. Out at FLETC, I don't know if they still do or not, but out at FLETC they would study money laundering and fake bills, and they didn't study all the fake ones and how they differed from the original. They studied the real thing enough that they knew the real thing when they saw it. I mean, if we take the time to study the background of this and that, and study the background of all the different religions in the world and try to understand, we're wasting time. But if we know the Word of God and we study what truth is, then we'll know what is not truth. We'll know what the fake is because we know the truth so well. And so those guys at FLETC, they study that $100 bill frontwards, backwards, corner to corner, and they know what the real one is like. So when they see a fake one, they know immediately it's not the real thing. So we must test the spirits, and the best way to test it is to know the real thing so well that we know that if there's any differentiation from that, that it's not of God. In Luke 21:33 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words," speaking of God's word, "will by no means pass away." It's amazing that these words were not written in 2020. They were written many years ago, but they're just as relevant today, if not more so, than they were 2,000 years ago. God's word stands, and it will by no means pass away. Today is Palm Sunday, and today we celebrate the day that Jesus rode in on a borrowed donkey into Jerusalem, preparing to give his life. The next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate the life, the death and resurrection, the life of Jesus Christ. Somebody said yesterday, "So, well, Pastor Mike, what's the difference in Easter Sunday than any other Sunday?" I said, "You're absolutely right. We celebrate the life of Jesus 365 days a year. Because it's because of the life of Christ that we have life. We celebrate Christmas on December 25th, the birth of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We're thankful that he was born every day of our life. We're thankful that Jesus rose from the grave. He went to the cross and rose from the grave on the third day, every single day of our life. So it's a day that maybe we can touch more people. People are more observant of what Jesus has done in our life, but the fact of the matter is we're to be thankful every single day of what he's done. And so today we recognize that Jesus came into Jerusalem knowing that he was going to give his life. And he spoke some words that I believe are relevant, and I want to bring out today and to study that together. Luke chapter 19, verse 37 to 40 says, "Then as Jesus was now drawing near, as he was coming in and the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude," say whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. They probably sounded a lot like you this morning. Rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. How can you hush somebody that has seen what God has done, what the Lord has done? They had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," exclamation, "peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Not only do I not like what they're saying, but they're being too loud. They're really getting on my nerves. Will you rebuke your disciples?" Do you feel like that sometimes? You're so excited. They said, "Jesus, quieten and rebuke your disciples." Evidently, they were getting on their nerves. But Jesus answered to them, and this is what Jesus said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." I've never seen a stone cry out. But Jesus said, if these were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. Jesus doesn't need our affirmation. Jesus doesn't need our attention, but we need his attention. We need his affirmation. We need his spirit. We need his presence. And the disciples knew that they were there to praise and to lift up the name of Jesus. So as the disciples were rejoicing, they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in earth and heaven and glory in the highest." Jesus makes this clear and important statement. He went on to describe what would happen if they were to be quiet. Who are the disciples of Jesus? In 2021, who are the disciples of Jesus? Anybody? Amen. You are the disciples. And the same words that Jesus spoke of his disciples then are the same words that he speaks of his disciples today. We believe Jesus and we follow him. He's the center of our life. And so we are, you are, I am the disciples of Jesus Christ. The only Bible that some people may read is your life. The only Jesus that some people may see is your life. And so we are a representation. We're the disciples of the Lord. And so our voice should be a reflection of his voice. Just as the disciples were making this statement and were celebrating Jesus and was praising the Lord and lifting their voices, we must do the same thing. Our voice is important in our life. It's important for us. It's important for you to hear yourself praising God. You shouldn't wait for me to get up here on Sunday and say, well, I sure hope he has an encouraging word. I need to hear God's word. You can speak God's word. Not only does the devil in your atmosphere hear it, but you also hear it. It's your words, speaking in faith, speaking the word of God that you hear that goes into your spirit, and it produces fruit. And so, yes, I pray that I encourage you today, but I also want to encourage you to encourage you. And that your words and that your actions are encouragement to you, but they're also encouragement to everyone around you. Well, whether the Pharisees saw that or not, they were a little critical. They wanted them to be quiet, but there was a statement that Jesus made, I believe, that set their path to knowing who Jesus was. Someone called to me a few weeks ago, and maybe in the very first week that I was on this topic, the voice and speaking of God's voice, and that's what all this has been about, is developing an ear and what it takes to hear God's voice. He came to me and he said, Pastor Mike, I believe also that God speaks through people. I said, you're absolutely right. God speaks through people. God speaks through you. God speaks through anyone that follows the name of Jesus. He speaks through those that hear God's voice. And I believe that as well. We are a reflection of Christ. Being disciples of God doesn't mean that we just believe privately in our heart. But it means that we proclaim, once we experience Jesus, once we know who he is and his blessing for our life, how can we keep silent? We would bust if we kept silent because we're so in tune, we're so excited, we know who he is, we want to speak of his word. And so there may be some that get Jesus out of the way you live. There may be some that have been hurt that aren't here today. Maybe you're watching Facebook Live. Some that would like to be here today, but maybe they've been hurt and they've been disappointed in people. And they think that all disciples of Christ are the same way. And I'm not saying we've always treated people fairly. We've probably all done something to hurt someone. I'm sure of that. But what I'm saying is that we can live the life of Christ in all that we do and make an impact for this world, just like Christ did. So I believe that the Lord is speaking to us today to encourage us, number one, to think like him, to think like he thinks. Well, what does that mean? That means that we can think as he thinks so that we can see things as he sees things. Well, that's a confrontation, or that's a wall, or that's a disappointment, or that's a discouragement, or that's a sickness, or that's a challenge. Yes, all those things are, but seeing past those things and knowing the way that God thinks about that situation, God will also cause us to think that way too. He's calling us to think like he thinks. He wants us to receive life even when we're given a death sentence. He wants us to receive life even when we're given news that isn't comforting. And we've all been there. We've all experienced disappointments. We've all experienced things in our life that are hard, that are tough to get through. But if we think like he thinks, we'll have faith to see beyond that situation. See, the life that we're living in is really phases. It's God building faith in us. We go through one thing and we come out victorious. We go through another thing and we come out victorious. Someone told me just this week that sometimes we get so caught up in the things that we face that we can't see beyond that. That thing is so big, and we think, wow, this is all there is to life, is this thing that I'm looking at. How can I get past this? We can get past it by thinking like he thinks, knowing that the power of God builds in us the faith and the strength to do all things. We've been on cruises, not in the past year and a half, but we've been on cruises, and on that cruise, once we pay for our ticket, there are many things that are included with that, namely food. You know, you can, once you board that cruise, you can eat from morning to night if you wanted to. And I never eat past a certain time at night, but I found myself on a cruise eating pizza at 11 o'clock one night just because I could. So that ticket pays for several different, I mean, it's your hotel room, it's your entertainment. You can go to the theater at night and watch a play or musicians play, and your food and all this fun stuff. Walk around the ship and you can climb walls. We climbed a wall one year and ring a bell when we get to the top. All these things, but it's like if we were given that ticket and said, okay, Mr. and Ms. Murray, you can board the ship, and we go to our cabin and we stay there for 3 days and don't come out. And then at the end of 3 days, fourth morning, we get up and we leave. We say, well, that was fun. Somebody said, how did you enjoy your cruise? Well, we enjoyed our cabin. We stayed there the whole time and we went home and it was fun. It was good. Well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Did you not know that that was included in with what you paid for? See, Jesus has paid for all the blessings of our life. And when we think like he thinks, we know that, God, you've paid for this thing, and so I want to be in the center of your will so that I'm not distracted, that I don't stay in my cabin and cheat myself out of all the blessings that you have for me along the way. Now, I agree, there was one ship that was sitting sideways one year when we were in Alaska, and that ship was running sideways, while Crystal and the other young lady was in the hall eating supper, me and the other gentleman was in our room trying to keep our food down. And so there are times when it's best that you stay in your cabin. Amen? But we think like Jesus thinks. See, our outlook will change when we think like he thinks. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the things that he thinks should be the way that we learn to think. It's not natural for us to think that way. It goes against our human tendencies. We want to see the negative. We want to be prepared for the worst case scenario. Is that just me? Be prepared for the worst case. Just in case the worst case happens, at least I'm prepared. And I'll be rejoicing if it happens a good way, but at least I won't be disappointed if it happens a bad way. Has anybody ever said that? No. Let this mind be in you. Well, here are some qualities of some of the things that God thinks like. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. These are qualities of God's mind. And we can obtain every single one of these qualities. We can think like he thinks. I love when our daughter-in-law Kendra, when they come home, they come home a couple times a year, and our son Josh, 34 years old, and two children, and Josh stays busy. Kendra stays busy. They have a busy life with a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, Silas and Zelda. But I love it when they come home. After being home a day or two, Kendra will say, I sure know who Josh's daddy is. I take that as a compliment. Well, some of your mannerisms are just like Josh. I know who he acts just like his daddy. And she does mean that in a great way, I'm sure. She means that in the best of ways. Don't you, Kendra? Act just like your daddy. Well, that's a compliment. What people should see in our life is that we act like our daddy. You know what? You're thinking, the way you talk, you're talking like you've got some faith. You're talking like you've got some word of God in your life. You're talking like your daddy. That's a compliment, that we can think like Christ, and before we know it, we're talking like him. It's just because we've been around him enough. After you've been around somebody a few years, you begin to talk like them. My Dotson looks like me. He's bald. We begin to think like Christ. Secondly, when God speaks to us, so that we can speak wise counsel. Wise counsel. I was called on a few days ago. Called on a few days ago that the family was in a kind of a tough situation, and some challenges were there, and so they called and said, "I just felt like I needed to call you. Felt like the Lord told me to call you." And in those times of the challenges that they were facing, we have a choice of either giving our opinion or either giving God's wisdom, right? And sometimes if we're closely connected to it, we want to give our opinion. Well, I'll tell you what I'd tell them. Tell them this, tell them that. Hit the road, Jack. But when we're juiced up with the power of God and the presence of God and the wisdom of God, the first thing that rolls off our mouth is wisdom. And many times we say wise words and wonder where it came from. Did I just say that? And so God will speak through us even in times. It says in Matthew that God will give us the words to speak even when we don't know it. Why? Because we're in tune with him, and when God speaks to us, it just flows through us. Now, do we have to, when they called, did I say, let me call you back in a couple hours, I need to go pray first? Well, that's not a real good sign, because that means I'm living outside of Jesus right now and I can't hear him. So, I mean, now there are times that I need to go pray about a situation because I don't have the words and God's not speaking the words to speak. Sometimes it's best that we be quiet if we don't have a word rather than making one up. That's part of wisdom too. But God speaks to us in wisdom, and so the words that I gave them, I believe, brought life and will bring life and bring fruit going forward. That doesn't mean that everything is fixed. That doesn't mean that everything's good, but it means that this particular party knows that in order to stay in contact with God, even in a tough situation, that God's going to bring glory and bring good out of that. And so part of wisdom from God is to speak the word of God in truth, but it's also knowing that we're speaking God's word and not our opinion. We don't necessarily need to speak our opinion. We need to speak God's word. Because as we know that every scripture that we go to, if we were to speak different opinions and different thoughts, there will be different analogies of things that are being said. But if we go to God's word and read it for what it is and read it in context and read it as God says to do it and to obey it, then we know that it's God's wisdom speaking through. And we're right on track. We're to repeat what God speaks. If he says it, we can repeat it. God's wisdom is spoken in love. Sometimes we think that love can involve truth because we've got to condone what we're speaking to. See, the thing about true love has to have truth as well. And so the truth of God's word, many times it'll step on my toes. That doesn't mean that it's not truth. It doesn't mean it's not in love. That means that love and truth must go together. I've got to have love and truth. If I truly love you, I'm going to speak truth. If I'm going to speak truth, then I need to speak it in love and not critical and not in a judgmental way. And so sometimes truth isn't popular. Sometimes truth seems to bring separation. And the reason why we sense separation sometimes in truth is because the two sides or more aren't in unity. And so there must be unity, and the unity comes through knowing God. And so sometimes if we're trying to seek unity, and unity is our first main thing that we're after, we want to bring calmness and peace, and we step outside of truth, then we're not really in truth. We're just trying to manipulate the situation. But if we speak truth in love, God will bring unity in time and bring us together so that we agree. Truth is always right. truth is always right. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right. Even a fool can, oh, I think that's right. Even a fool can conjure up a way to make things right. A fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Whose counsel are we to heed? God's counsel. Our wisdom, our direction, and our obedience to Christ, it all comes through knowing Him and counting on Him to speak to us. And so I also have people that I go to for wise counsel. I believe everybody needs someone that is in their life. A pastor needs a pastor. I've met some pastors that don't need a pastor and don't want a pastor and don't want accountability, and that's a dangerous place to be. We all need wise counsel from God. We all need someone that we can be accountable to talk to. And wise counseling is not always cookie cutter. It's not always the same. Well, one time I did it this way, so if I do it that way, it's... And so what I mean by that is sometimes wise counsel is that we're to move slowly. God says move slow. And so sometimes God doesn't give an answer. Chris and I have been in situations to where we've been seeking God and praying about certain situations in our life, and we're ready to do it. We're ready to move right now. Tomorrow morning, let's do this thing. But we've not been given a clear answer, so God slows us down. And so in a situation like that, wisdom is slow because God is doing something else beyond what we can see. We've got to trust God for His wisdom to speak into that thing so that when we move, it's moving in God's timing. Did you know it could be something good, but if we miss God's timing, we've missed it. And so sometimes moving slow is a word of wisdom, and other times God will speak to us and it's time to move now, right now. And so many times, God will sometimes spring on me things to do right now because if I have time to think about it, I'll talk myself out of doing it. Well, that doesn't make sense. That's not a good thing to do. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Worst case scenario. And so I've talked myself right out of being obedient to God because I'm wise. That's not wisdom, right? And so there are times that God says move slow, and there are other times that God says, here it is, do it. And so knowing when God speaks those things, knowing the wisdom and the wise counsel of God, we know that we've heard God's voice and we can do it. See, obedience is the biggest part of our life with God. Knowing to do what we're to do is only half of it. Doing what we know to do is the fulfillment of the blessing. The Bible says to be slow to anger in one scripture, and then it says be quick to obey in another. So you see, our speed of our obedience to God is irrelevant. Our obedience to God is what's important. That comes with wisdom from God. Proverbs 19:20-21 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction. If you find somebody that's unteachable, you just need to back off. You can't make somebody learn something. We've got some teachers in here, and you know what I'm talking about. You can get a drill and drill it in their head and you still haven't done anything. You can't make somebody learn. And so that was one of the biggest challenges that I believe that Jesus faced when he was on earth, is he had some people that knew everything and he had others that were hungry for the truth. And so he had this whole group in the same crowd and he had to minister to those that were hungry, and he had to go right over the head of those that were there just to be critical and that knew everything. And so we're going to face the same people in life too. And you can't take that personally. You've got to say, God, I'm here for you, and I'm not doing my life based on other people's reactions. I'm doing my life based on your instruction to me. I want to be obedient to the Lord. It says to listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Well, our latter days are, in my opinion, are once we come of age, once we come to a place of knowing what we're doing. Some that's 13 years old, some that's 35 years old. In our latter days, we become wise because we receive counsel and receive instruction. There are many plans, verse 21 of Proverbs 19, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Y'all receive that today? And lastly, God speaks to us. This is important. I've already alluded to it, that we may distribute his peace. That we may distribute his peace. You can't cram peace down somebody's throat, but you can leave it in a peaceful situation, and they will know that the Lord has been there, because God brings peace. Even in times when he brings correction, he brings peace. Without God's peace in our life, there's turmoil, there's worry, there's anxiety. Well, did I do this? Did I do that? And we're always questioning. But God's peace, he brings peace even as Peter saw the troubled waters and the winds and the boat. God brings and he speaks peace in every situation. There's nothing bigger than God. There's nothing bigger than God. And so he speaks his voice into our lives so that we can receive his peace but also distribute his peace. Situation I was just speaking to you about, they were to get together and to share hearts in a calm way and to speak their heart in the situation. And it's up to the other person to receive what's being said, whether it's being received or not. But see, God's peace will comfort them because they know that they've done what God has told them to do. See, God will give us some challenging things to do. God will give us some instructions that will be beyond our ability to carry it out. But as the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength, it's the things that he tells us to do that's beyond our ability to do it, that he gives us the ability to do those things and to have peace in doing it. And the residual effect will be God's peace. When God's the center of every situation, he makes peace be there. He causes peace to be there. When there's a pull in one direction and there's a pull in another direction, when we stand in God's peace and stand in his comfort and knowing that he is in the midst of it, he brings peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, God is not the author of confusion. Let me say that again. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is a God of peace. Everything that he wants to do, he wants to bring peace. There is sometimes a path to the peace, but God is given peace even in the hallway to the blessing. He's given peace. Maybe you're in a situation today that things are beyond your control and they're out of your hands, but God will give you peace even in that situation, as hard as it is. And I know there are situations today that there are challenges and there's things that are uncomfortable. But God wants to bring his peace, and to know that God brings peace, he's there. And knowing that his presence is there brings peace. Know that he's not somewhere else and he's not making someone else more important than you. Did you know that you're just as important to God as anyone else? You are his priority. You were on his mind when he gave his life. He brings peace today. And there's one more thing I want to bring up before I close this morning. The thing that can cause us not to walk and not to speak God's voice in these three areas that I just spoke of, there's one thing that can take us out of being blessed by God's peace, and that is our desire. Our desire. Our desire can cause us to walk away from God. Our desire can cause us to walk toward God. We have a decision, you see, that with all of the things that the Lord has prepared for us, all the things that God has put in our life, all the provisions that he's made, he's paid the price for everything, that we trust him. But what is our desire? Is our desire to draw close to him, or is our desire to walk away from him? As we see these disciples were not walking with Jesus this day on Palm Sunday. They were not walking with Jesus because they were made to be there. They didn't get a call during the night and said, guys, I need you to be here at 5 a.m. we're going to be walking to Jerusalem together. They weren't made to be there. They weren't manipulated. Well, if you'll come, then I've got a surprise for you later on. They weren't manipulated to be there. They weren't paid to be there. They made a choice to be there. It was their desire to be there with Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Not only were they there, but they were excited to be there. There's nowhere else that they wanted to be. The desire of their heart was to be with Jesus. Wherever Jesus led them, whatever Jesus did, they wanted to be there. Now, were those disciples perfect? Did they have it all together? Did they have everything in order? They never said anything wrong. They never did anything wrong. They never fussed, argued. They never... Of course they did. They were just as human, believe me. They were just as human as you and me are. And they were there. Their desire was to shout and rejoice and proclaim the name of Jesus right there that day they walked with Jesus. Their desire was to be with Jesus. Out of all the provision, everything else that Jesus had done and was doing, was about to do for them, that they didn't know the fullness of it. They didn't understand what was happening, what was going on. But yet they put everything else aside. Did those guys have something else they could have been doing? They could have been doing just like you today. They could have been doing 100 different things. Beautiful day like today. It probably was just like this on Palm Sunday. They could have been fishing, could have been playing golf. They could have been skeet shooting. Could have been doing whatever they wanted to do. But they were there because their desire was to be with Jesus. What is your desire? What's your desire? Where's your passion? Is our desire to pursue Jesus like ever before? Is our desire to look to him even in the challenge? Now, I'm not saying that we're to quit working. We're going to be here now for the next 7 days and we're going to eat together. That's not what I'm saying. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we're not going to do that this week. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that our desire, even in all the things that we do, the life that we live, our families, our work. Everybody's busy. But in the middle of that, just like our heartbeat, that our desire should be to be close to Jesus. That's what he's saying, is that we need to make him the center of all that we do. How can we expect peace in certain situations if we're not walking with him? We can't. Many times we rely on what we know to bring us peace. We weigh out all the things, we lay it on the table, and we see which is, there's, let's see, 10 things there and there's 8 things here. Oh, that's not good odds. And so we weigh out the future based on what we see. It's in black and white. I could see it here. But you know what? As I said this morning to someone before church, the doctors only know what they know. There's a limit to even what doctors know, as smart as they are. And I thank God for good doctors. But they only know what they know. Jesus knows a lot more than me or you or even doctors know. And so we can believe and trust God that he can bring a miracle in an impossible situation. Because we know that Jesus has never, ever failed. That our desire is to follow him, even if we're going down a path that we don't understand, even if we're in a challenging time today, and we may be there for a few more days. Listen, our trust can be in him because he's going to bring peace to that thing in your life. Because he knows everything. He's got it all in the palm of his hands. He laid down his life on the third day. He rose from the grave, and he's not missed a beat since. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He's not out lunch or on vacation. He is for you. And I want to encourage you today that our desire, our passion, our heart needs to be for him. And if our heart, if our desire, if our life is founded and based in him, there is nothing that God will not do. Nothing. There's nothing that he will not do. He loves you with an eternal love. He laid his life for you, laid down his life for you so that you have eternity, life eternal. That's what he has come to do today. And I want us to trust in him that he's going to bring all things together for our good. He will not let anything that the devil has formed against us prosper. Do you believe that? Let's stand this morning, Crawford. Lord, we thank you that your heart is for us. We thank you, Father. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Father, every situation today, no matter if it's hurtful, no matter if it seems impossible, no matter if it's not good, no matter, God, if we see it in a different light, God, I pray that we will see things through your eyes today. God, give us eyes to see the way that you see this. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see you today. Lord, cause us to receive your wise counsel. It may not make sense to us, but Lord, it's your word. It calls us to be obedient to your word, to follow your wise counsel, and Lord, to distribute your peace. God, I pray that you'll fill every heart today with your peace. In turmoil and confusion, God, you're not the author of that. You're the author of peace. And you're not limited by any situation to bring your peace today. Lord, we pray for your peace to guard hearts and minds. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Father, speak to us today.